For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 229. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Miguel Kaplan.
You can find me at TurnerSparks.com. Buy my album, Turner Sparks Live from the Friars Club. I will sign it and send it to you if you buy it on my website. How about that personal signature? Follow Kaplan. I don't think he's got anything to sell. Follow Kaplan on all social media platforms at Cap in America, K-A-P, Cap in America. This show is at Lost in America Pod on all social media platforms. Kaplan, on the show today, we have Jaime Ferraro back from Peru to update us on what's going on with their presidential elections, which have gone out of control, as far as I can tell. We remember, this is our third Peru episode we've done in the past 6 months.
It's our, I didn't know when we start off with this format, the Peru, I went to predict it would be like our go-to country. One of our favorites.
You go where the news is. You go where the talent is, and you go where the audience is. And we're 3 for 3 on all of those.
Exactly. We were number one in Peru, right? I mean, we did an episode 221. It was our last time we did an episode in Peru. So go back and listen later. And there we discussed the elections that they were having, and I'm sure we nailed it, right? We got it all right. We predicted who was going to win. So Jaime's going to update us. Tell us how we did.
Well, they're down to the final two candidates now.
I'm sure there are two people we talked about.
It's the first thing we need to teach Cap. It's not over yet. So there is no winner, but yeah, we highlighted, we previewed all the 10 people along with a bunch of other stuff we talked about. And if you go even further back, do you remember the first time we talked about Peru? It was because they had 3 presidents in 5 days.
A lot of impeachment. It's a big popular thing to do.
That was the headline we liked. So we jumped into that. So now we're going to find out there's a president now. I want to know if he's still there or what's going on. But before we get to all that, Kaplan, the way to support this show, Patreon.com/Lost in America. We're giving you this show for free every single week. So give us something. How about scratch our back a little bit? Don't just sit there and take. It's time to give.
As you said, I'm not selling anything. I got no CDs to autograph and go to the mail and mail to you, but I do have this Patreon show. This is my heart, my soul,
Kaplan,
my guts.
Will autograph your laptop if you send it to him.
I will send you my exactly. But this show is it. This is my entire income right now. I'm on the dole. So support me with some Patreon money.
Yeah, you know? Kaplan's relying currently on government subsidies.
Government subsidies.
Which is, frankly, it's embarrassing. So we need to get
really, we need to get a bigger number, because right now we don't have enough.
So what we do, we're at $352 a month, but forget Kaplan on, government money.
Food stamps. I got a family to feed. I've got a dog.
There's bread lines in Long Island City
My dog needs physical therapy. It's an expensive life here. Come on.
You got more vacations to go on. You can't always go to Florida. Sometime you want to go Central America. You want to go around the world. You can't do that on $350 a month.
Yeah, I like to go where the corona hotspots are, and that's a lot of places
so
around the world.
Give
now,
Kaplan so. Money India. Because those government that government welfare doesn't pay for it. Pays for a few trips to Florida, not a lot.
Yeah, so give me money and Turner as well. A little
give his children a childhood.
Give them a childhood,
please. Jeez,
we need that that music for like those infomercials when yes. like a dying dog.
Yes, the state's paying for them to go to Orlando Disney World, but not Disneyland.
Not Epcot.
Not Tokyo Disney.
We need the photo pass.
Not Hong Kong.
So yeah, sponsor a struggling podcaster. Play the music. In the eyes of-
And here's a bigger reason why. It's because we're at $352 a month right now. We've said from day one, if we get to $400 a month, and thank God we haven't gotten there yet, but if we get to $400 a month, we're throwing a once-a-year party in New York City for all of our Patreon subscribers, and we announced we're doing it at the Friars Club. I'm a big cheese over there. You're a member over there.
I'm a small cheese over there.
So yeah, we're throwing a party. So how about that? So you can come to our party for $5. For $5 a month, you get invited
you
to a
get
party.
Get to go to one party. Month. I mean, there you go. You got a party invite for the year. Get your social calendar out. So
what's that? Times 12. $60 a year.
That's a cheap cover charge for a party at the Friars
Club. We'll spend $100 on you, I'm sure. Kaplan probably will.
Have we crunched the numbers on this plan?
Yeah, this is a bad plan.
It's not well thought out.
Anyway, Cap.
But we've got other financial plans.
We have other ideas. We currently have an NFT we're selling, and we got to get through this quick because this is going long. Yeah. But our podcast we did with Ari Shaffir a couple weeks ago, we've turned into a non-fungible token, which sounds like a scam because it is. But you can buy it from us for, I think, for like a dollar right now.
Right now, you have to pay in Ethereum, I believe. So you get to feel fancy. And yeah, it's like about a dollar right now. We've had 110 people look at this and we've had no bids. Now we assume everybody is waiting to the last minute to start making their bids.
Yeah.
But get in
and
now.
If you're, you know, if you're Jan Kaplan, if you're Gary Sparks, if you're Myrna Sparks, if you're Dr. Bob Kaplan, if you're listening right now and you're confused as to what this means, it's not for you. Don't worry about it. Let the younger people buy our NFTs because they like to give away money more than you do.
Yeah. And if you're one of these deadbeats who refuses to support us on Patreon, you can help us out this way. Own a piece of history, piece of podcasting history. Own a non-fungible token. Is that what it is? Did I get the name right?
Something like that.
National football token.
But it's the first ever podcast that we know about that is now selling itself as a token. Yeah.
And to do it, so everyone, you go to opensea.io. That's the website.
How about this? I'll put a link on LostInAmericaPod.com.
Just type in Lost in America too. We're trying to help people find it. So,
all right. I wanted to read, you know, this guy, Sean from Twitter, gave us a great review.
Thank you,
I'm going to read it real quick because this is another way. Leave us an iTunes review if you like the show. We got one, Sean from Twitter. He goes by Top Entertainment. He says, 5 stars. Love this podcast. Amazing comedy. Brutally honest, which makes it even more funny. Are we brutally honest? Sometimes we lie.
It sounds honest, though, when you lie in a funny way.
Yeah. We're not always honest. Anyway, if you enjoy learning about what happens overseas outside of the USA, take a listen. Thanks a lot, Sean from Twitter. Everybody, leave us a review. We'll read it on the show.
Week,
now, let's get to today. We're talking about the Peruvian election. What I know is that they're down to 2 candidates. One is, I forget her first name, but her last name's Fujimori, and she's the daughter. Keiko Fujimori. She's the daughter of she's a senator, but she's also the daughter of the former president who went to prison for a long time for murder.
For a long time, we talked about
he's a murderer. He's a kidnapping.
They've got a political philosophy named after him, though. He's been around a long time.
So she's
the Ivanka of a.
She's a disciple of him. She's also very right wing. And she's Japanese Peruvian, which I want to get into. And on the other side, so it's down to her super right wing. The other far left wing guy, his name is Castillo, right?
Pedro Castillo, I believe.
Pedro Castillo. And what I know about him is that he wants to take 70% of all the private businesses' money.
Yeah.
He wants 70% of it for the government.
That seems
a lot of people say that sounds like a little much. Okay. So he's on the far left side. She's on the far right side. Cap, what do you know?
And he's hit a very meteoric rise, because when we did this pod last time, we talked about a lot of people. I don't believe we ever mentioned this guy, Pistillo. I did not ring a bell. If he told me who he was yesterday, I would have thought he was like a minor league prospect for the Phillies. I never heard the name. But now
he's a shortstop.
He's a shortstop. We got him. But now he's apparently going to be the next president. He's the leader. He had the most votes in the original election before they went to the runoff. And because they're not a country, I guess, that forms a coalition like a parliament, you can't keep the whack job from taking office if he's got the most votes, I think. So
he got 18% of the votes, which was the most.
It's the most. Everybody. So it sounds like he's the future president. We got to find
out. Jaime's going to clear this all up for us. Who's going to win? Why they only have, why these are the only two options left? What happened there? Jaime Ferraro, you know him from the El Podcast de Jaime Ferraro. You can listen to it on iTunes, on Spotify, everywhere they have podcasts. Also, he was telling us off air after he did our episode last time, he went viral. So now he's a viral. He's big on TikTok. He's big on Instagram. Jaime Ferraro, thanks, welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
Hey guys, I'm glad to be here, letting you into the terrible experience of being Peruvian and interested in politics.
And you're coming to us. Are you in Lima? If for everyone watching on YouTube, not watching on YouTube, it's a great
background. That's a real backdrop, real background.
We're on Twitch.
Well, yeah, I am in Lima. Yeah, this is I live in Lima, which is the biggest city in Peru, and it's where there's almost 1/3 of the population live in Lima. And what you were saying about the election is mostly right. You got pretty close, but we're in a pretty tough situation right now.
So
choosing between the lesser of two evils, it's just that it's not even clear who is that.
Yeah. So how did this happen that you only got left with a far left wing candidate who wants to, you know, basically almost close to a communist, some say is a communist. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you got this daughter of a murdered possible authoritarian dictator who got kicked out of the country. And she has the same tendencies. Maybe she's not a murderer, but she has said she will pardon him, I believe. She'll pardon her father if she wins. And she thinks authoritarianism is kind of good, she said. So how did you get left with only these two options?
Yeah, where did it go wrong?
The thing is that our electoral system is pretty messed up. So basically what happened is that if you want to win in the first round, you got to get more than 50% of the votes. I mean, if Castillo had gone up to 50%, he would have won in the first round. But he only got to 18, and Keiko Fujimori, she got to 14 or something, and she beat the next two candidates by like 1 percentage point. So basically, they throw those two into the second round. But if you see, like, from 25 million people who are eligible to vote, Castillo has like 3 million votes, and Keiko has like 2.5 million votes, something like that. So it's basically, our system forces us to choose between people that we don't want to choose from. You know, it's like whomever of those wins, 9 out of 10 people wouldn't have voted for them in the first round. You know?
Yeah.
So they are going to have a pretty tough time as well, because we have 10 parties in parliament, in Congress now, 10 different parties, each one of them with their own interests, you know, and so they're not going to have a majority that supports any of the things they want to do. That's kind of what happened with our last president. That's why we had three presidents in a week. Because basically, if they don't like you, they just throw you off. And it's become easier and easier to do that. And if you have a president with such low support, well, that's even easier to do now. So the thing with Castillo is it was kind of a surprise. It's not the first time that it happens in Peru that what they call the outsider is like a person who is completely outside of the political environment, comes out of nowhere and just climbs up in and gets to the second round in a week. Remember, you don't need that much of a percentage to get into the second round. Basically, 10% could have gotten you there. So he got in as being first. And Keiko a second with only 14. So it was a gamble. So, yeah. And he came out of nowhere and he stole most of the votes from the centered left. That was the other left-wing party that people thought that could have done something. They got stuck at around 10%. And they're like the progressive ones, you know, that the one that have like identity politics and feminism and stuff like that. And this is like the old left wing, like communist, bring everything to Peru, nationalize the foreign companies. That's what they have on their original plan.
That's Castillo. Yeah, he's not the identity politics guy. He's old
school. Not at all.
He's the opposite, right?
Yeah. He's evangelical. So he's
he's a religious.
He's homophobic. And he says like women are not. I mean, he hasn't said much. That's kind of the thing. But that's where he comes from. And he has a guy on his side, who is called Vladimir Cerrón, who is the founder of the party he run with. Okay, and this guy has not. He's not the vice president. He doesn't have any place in government. But he's the owner of the party, who is Pedro Castillo is running on. So when he started the party, he came up with a bunch of ideas in an idea book. Like
Vladimir Cerrón started the party?
Yeah, Vladimir Cerrón, when he started the party, he came out with a book of ideas, and that's where all these ideas are coming from. Like make this country like North Korea or Venezuela, make it like most of all the enterprises and companies must be local. He wants to abolish change the main constitutional tribune, which is like the three or four judges that decide, you know, if something sticks to the constitution or not. They are like the last word.
So
he wants to dissolve that.
It's wild, but how did Castillo, from what I read, he's a school teacher. Right.
Yeah.
In the countryside, way out somewhere, not in the big cities, but in the village.
Yeah.
And how did a school teacher from the village all of a sudden become not only a politician, but a one successful enough to get, even though it's only 18%, he got more than anyone else got. How did that happen?
No, and he's at about 40% right now in the polls.
Wow. Okay. So how 40, did that
happen? That's a 20-point lead.
Where did he come from?
He's not only a teacher, because he is a teacher from a city from the Andes, but he's also like a syndicate. He's on the teacher syndicate, and he's been the head of that for a while.
Oh, the
like
union. The teacher's union.
Exactly.
Oh, from the I'm union. Out on this so, guy, by the way.
So it's not like he has no political experience. Also, he's been like enrolled for 12 years in the party of Alejandro Toledo, which was our president from 2001 to 2006. And he's very right wing.
Ah, okay. So he didn't come out of nowhere. He was right wing in politics. No,
they never do.
Teachers union.
But this Vladimir Cerrón, why didn't he run for this party he founded? Or he?
Because he's been convicted for stealing money. He was like a governor of a region of Peru, and he was very dirty. And so he took money, and they sent him to jail for 4 years. And in Peru, if your sentence is under 4 years, you don't go to jail.
What? So
don't.
Nothing.
I mean, no, you stay. I mean, you can't go out of the country. You pay fines. I mean, and
wait,
you
what?
Are
if it's under a 4 year sentence.
Yeah, you don't know.
They only what? Believe in law. They go deep. They only go deep. Throw the ball.
Wait. If it's if you get convicted under 4 years, you nothing happened. You just pay your way out of it. You pay a fine.
No, you don't. Pay, you don't even have to pay. I mean, it's like. I mean, the judge can decide. I mean, if you're getting 4 years for a big crime, which is not usually the case because there's usually like higher sentences for that. If it's for stealing money or maybe, I don't know, saying something which is not true about someone, something that they can convict you to 4 years or 3 years or 2 years, you don't actually go to jail, but you do have that on your record. You pay a fine. You got to go and sign.
It's like a parking ticket. It's like in America, if you park in the wrong spot, you got to pay a fine, but that's about it.
So, yeah. He was convicted to 4 years. So he was going to go to jail and then something happened and some judge changed the sentence and they changed it to 3 years, 9 months.
Nice little bribery there. Because I looked for him and on Wikipedia, you click on him, he doesn't even have a page, this guy. So
who's this Kaplan? Who are we talking about?
This Vladimir Cerrón, the guy who founded the party. I was asking why he didn't
founded Castillo's party.
Yeah, yeah. So,
okay. So he's on the radar. Can I ask this? Why it seems like the root of this problem is the idea that we're changing. I want to start with the changing politics, changing presidents so often, and then we'll get into the details of each one of these candidates. But if we're changing so often, it seems like the root problem is that no one can get 50% or more approval. And is it because we've talked about this, I know, before, but there's too many people running, right?
Yeah, so we had 18 candidates.
18 candidates for president.
On the first round, we had 18 candidates.
And they all have some amount. And nope, support. Like we might have 18 candidates or 12, but at some point they either drop out or they'll drop out and endorse someone else. That doesn't happen in Peru.
No, you guys, when you usually have like 18 candidates, you have them within each of the parties, right? So you have a primary and then they get eliminated and the party chooses one. But these are all guys coming from different parties.
So 18 parties.
They don't operate like the parliamentary system in the UK, where they, as Kaplan said earlier, they trade favors and coalition. So
Israel or something.
It's all or nothing.
Exactly. It used to be like that some way back when Peru was just trying to, you know, look like a real country. So basically, in the end, the fighting got so nasty that
they said, screw it.
They blew everything away. I mean, it's like sometimes you can think something is the best for your country, and another person could disagree, and you can work out a solution, right?
Yes.
But the thing is that then you have like a guy who's convicted for murder, and then you have like a drug dealer, and then you have like a guy who's getting money from universities, and then so it's a whole bunch of like mobs, you know, just fighting.
I was going to say, this sounds like mob movies in the night, or mob in the 19, whatever, in New York City in the old days. Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. And the oldest one of those, which is still running, is the one with Keiko Fujimori. You know?
Yes.
The oldest mob.
So it's kind of funny now because, like, funny in a sad way, but it's funny.
Not funny, but.
You got right wing people saying, like, that in order to save democracy, you got to vote for Fujimori, which is like, come on.
Whereas her father was I think some people would say a dictator. People would say, there's a great quote from her I found about her father, where she says her father was not a dictatorship, despite some moments of authoritarianism. So she said he did have moments of authoritarianism, but he was not a dictator. So at minimum, his own daughter says he was authoritarian. And I think a lot of people would say he was a dictator. And now he stayed for 10 years, right? 1990 to the year 2000. And the worry is that if she gets into office, she has the same tendencies as her father. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only the thing that she could stay in power, which is, I believe that whomever gets into power in the next 5 years, it's going to have a pretty hard time lasting those 5 years. I mean, because we're asking them, are you going to leave when your term ends? But I don't think they're going to even be able to stay for the whole term.
I mean, they'll get impeached, right? There's no
probably. Yeah, they're probably going to get impeached because they have this parliament which is against them. And they're not going to be popular. Whomever of them wins, they're not going to be popular. So like in a month or two, if they do something which Congress believes is worthy of impeachment, they're going to go for it. And no one's going to go out and defend them like they did with Vizcarra at that point. It's going to be like, okay.
Marching.
Yeah, everyone marched last year for Vizcarra. So what do they need? What does Congress need to be able to impeach someone? Like what percentage of Congress needs to vote to impeach?
88 votes.
They only 88 out of 130?
It's pretty easy. I mean,
that sounds like a lot. In America, that would be a lot because we only have basically two parties. And they're usually about 50-50. But in a country where you have 13, 14, 15 parties, it depends. A lot.
And how many does each of these candidates have in Congress in their party?
How many? If Castillo wins.
He's going to have 30.
He'll have 30. So that means he'll have 100 who are not in his.
Yeah, exactly.
And they only need 88.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's out.
Cross him off.
What about her?
Keiko's going to have even fewer than that. And it's just going to have like 20 something.
So what are we even doing? Why even have an election? I mean,
yeah, I mean, what kind of Trump
over under 1 month?
Believe me, I don't even want to vote. I mean, I don't know if you guys need a third comedian on your podcast, but I'm willing to move.
You can come up here. It's a good time. The clubs are opening back up. So
you can join the world's smartest network. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. We'll get our Spanish language show going. Yeah. What is there any movement in the country? And I keep saying we'll get to the details of these candidates, which we will. But is there any movement for people to say, hey, this system doesn't work? We can't change presidents every 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that in the last 40 or 50 years, every political scientist that has had the chance to speak about this in Peru has said that what we need to do is make the parties stronger so they can have and make them more clean as well. Basically, we just got to send the criminals to jail, clean the parties and make them stronger. But believe it or not, that's almost impossible because there's a whole bunch of people here that when you tell them that, they hear as if you're just censoring their side, and it says your side is corrupt, man. I mean, it's like if you're supporting Fujimori, I mean, they have to go to jail. But people who support those parties are in like state of how to say this. It's just that they just don't care. I mean, they just assume that the country is always going to be like that. So these mobsters are the most efficient.
I see. So the idea is. Everybody's well. That we've had
crooked.
That in our past in America, where people say, "Of course, yes, my politician might be dirty, but everybody's dirty at some point."
I mean, so. Not that far in the past, we've had that. Yes.
Well, we've had it a couple times. We had it in the '90s. We had it a few years ago,
a few months ago. Yeah.
Both sides in the not too distant past have rationalized that way.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. I mean, like, if any of those guys from the U.S. came here,
yeah,
they'd all be like the cleanest politician we've ever had.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's a challenge.
Let's start at Fujimori, the senior, because I just want to lay out where the daughter is coming from here. The senior is literally, he got arrested. He ruled from 1990 to 2000. He got arrested in 2007. He fled the country. And then he went to Chile in 2006 or 2007, and they caught him and arrested him. And he was tried on bribery or some type of money laundering or something, murder, and kidnapping.
Murder was the case that they gave him.
And kidnapping. I get it if it's a white collar crime, you know, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, but murder and kidnapping, my gosh.
Murder and kidnapping are more than 4 years, correct? So you do go to jail for this.
25 years.
I just want to make sure it's above 4 years.
He had 25 years. He got 25 years for that. But I mean, and he only got sentenced for those two crimes because those are the ones they evaluated in Chile. And since he got extradited, when you get extradited, you can only be judged by the or trialed by the same charges you went to trial in Chile. But he has a whole bunch of other things that he has done. I mean, basically, for example, the argument if when Fujimori ruled was a dictatorship or if it wasn't, it's just basically because in order to have a dictatorship, you have to take control of the three powers of the state, which is like the judicial system, executive, right? The presidency,
military,
and Congress.
Yeah, Congress.
But and he didn't do the other two, but he bought them. I mean, he had all the judges in his pocket, and he would give money to Congress people to change parties. So he had Congress under his control, also the judiciary system under his control. So there's not much of a difference. It was in practice a dictatorship, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not like a military dictatorship, but it was. And he dealt drugs. He dealt weapons. He sold weapons to the Colombian terrorist army. And he's like the one who says, like, we beat terrorism in Peru. And he kind of did. I mean, I'm not arguing with that. But at the same time, he was selling weapons to the terrorists.
He outsourced it. He exported it.
Oh, terrorism. Yeah. I mean, that guy, he was just a mobster. He is. I mean, he's in jail now. But he's still
in prison now, which gets us to his daughter. Keiko Fujimori. Keiko, I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing it correctly. She One of the things she seems to be running on is that if she wins, she will pardon her father and get him out of prison, right?
Yeah.
Now, she's a good daughter. Can't blame her.
yeah, but I mean, in the last 5 years, she was the head of the biggest, I mean, in the last 5 years, out of the 130 Congress people that we had, her party had 73, okay?
And when 73 she went, seats out of 130. Yeah.
She had 73. And she was supposed to be right-wing liberal, okay? And the president that won, Kuczynski, was also right-wing liberal. So they were supposed to work together. But in those 5 years, she and her group just dedicated themselves to just try to overthrow this guy. So they basically, they don't have any principles. They just do whatever.
It's not power.
For their group. Yeah. So, so basically, and at some point, Kuczynski, that other president, he pardoned his her father, but you know, when he pardoned her father, he did it in a way that he was protecting himself from being impeached. So he had an agreement with the other with Fujimori's son, with Keiko's brother, and he said, like, you gave me some votes not to get impeached, and I'll pardon your father. And he did that. So Keiko, which was trying to achieve power, she got caught like with her pants down at that moment. And she's like, what? And she acted against the pardon of her own father at that point. And people
against her brother then?
Yeah, no. And then she pursued her brother, and her brother was impeached from Congress. He got thrown out of Congress.
Wait, she got her brother impeached?
Yeah. And then she opened a process. Then she wanted to accuse her brother and the former president of negotiating under the table, which they did.
Whoa!
Do that.
She's got this, no. Wow, she's this ruthless.
This is crazy. Yes, in succession. If anyone.
Yesterday, her brother came out publicly and supported her candidacy, and it was like news, you know. And
yeah.
There's a political science from the U.S. called Steve Levitsky, and he was saying like, "Man, if your brother supporting you is news, you're going to lose."
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
going to pardon him. And people, I mean, we don't really care.
Because the pardon didn't stick the first time because of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, Jaime, what is, you said she was, the party she was previously was right-wing liberal. What does that mean, right-wing liberal?
Basically, in Peru, we have right and left wing, and within the right wing, we have liberals, and then we have conservatives. We have people, they are both basically pro-market, pro-free market.
Okay.
Okay. In the economy, but in that right wing, you have people, the smallest group is like, they are in favor of gay marriage.
That would be a right-wing liberal?
A right-wing liberal. Would you, a libertarian, would you call them a neoliberal?
The thing is that neoliberal here is mostly used regarding economy.
Right.
So they all are in agreement with the economy part, but what sets them apart is the social. And
social. Civil. It's like a difference between a social conservative and
a libertarian. In the United States.
Right-wing conservatives here are Catholic, are very religious people.
And so they're, she is a right-wing liberal.
She
is she still a right-wing liberal or not anymore?
She was supposed to be, but when the other right-wing liberal won, then she turned into completely into a conservative.
Oh, right? So now she's a right-wing conservative.
She wants to be elected.
Well, now she's like the only face of the right wing. So she's trying to be a little bit of everything. And so she gets, that's the big
It's an old rule. When you try to be a little bit of everything, you're a lot of nothing.
Exactly. Because she is nothing in the end. I mean,
right. Well, I want to get to Castillo in just a minute. But before we do, Kaplan, we have an advertise. Well, I want to talk about our podcast network, the world's smartest podcast network. We have three shows currently. Two of them are on the air. So we have two shows.
One's in hiatus.
We had one is in hiatus. That is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. She's a stand-up comedian in New York City. She had the Ask a Political Science podcast. She's now, that is on hiatus. She's coming back soon with a brand new podcast.
Which, she told us about. Yeah, we can't spoil it.
We're not allowed to say what it is, but she's got a lot of big guests lined up. It's coming soon. That's the World's Smartest Podcast Network. Andrea Jones-Roy's new show. She's not only a stand-up comedian, she's a professor at NYU, data science professor. I believe she's like a department chair or something like that. So that's good.
And then we have
Dr. Andrew Heaton.
Dr. Heaton.
He's a doctor of blowhard.
Doctor of blowhard. I was going to say that.
The Political Orphanage.
The Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton, yes.
It's an American political show following the politics of America from someone who is neither a Republican nor a Democrat, but trying to look at it.
He doesn't like tribalism. He doesn't like the teams aspect of either side.
Yes, exactly. It's a great show. Check that out also on the World's Smartest Podcast Network, worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. This week, Heaton has on a British writer who he's talking to about British versus American concepts of liberty.
Liberty, yes. They're different concepts. And we don't know that. We're dummies, but we're going to listen. We're going to learn about it. And
the most I know about liberty is that commercial on TV.
we just learned with
liberty.
I would say we don't even understand what a neoliberal is, but we're going to get to liberty. We're going to listen to that pod and get
smart. Check out our podcast network, everybody. It's making some moves. We're growing. And now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back. Hi, mate. Okay, back to the show. So I think we get what Keiko Fujimori is. She's kind of a assassin for hire. Pardon the pun. I don't know if she's
That's what she is. That's what she is.
You said that because she's a female, but
she's picking. She'll adopt whatever political platform she popular. Thinks is popular at the time to try to win. And she's lost twice in the past. She's run for president twice and lost in 2011, 2016. She's also currently a member of Senate. She also, and we should get to this before we move on to Castillo. She also was she in and out of prison from 2018, 19, 20? She finally got out on May 5th, 2020.
Yeah.
What is that for?
Corruption.
She's not actually in the Senate now. She was like two periods ago because when she started running for president, she stopped going to the Senate. But yeah, she was in jail because, we had this big, it's funny to say, big political scandal because that's our reality usually. But there was this big political scandal where these big construction companies were giving money to oil parties. And she received money to fund her campaign. And that's why she was put in jail, because that was dirty money. But this imprisonment she was in was not like she wasn't convicted. They basically put her in prison while she was in trial. It's like when you see those trials in American TV, when they say like, is there a risk of flight, or can you do something to, you know?
She can make bail. So they were worried she would take off.
It's something like that. So she got sent to jail and she was in there for almost 2 years. She got out because of this big tribunal of judges said like this is not justice, so she has to come out, you know, and she's still being processed, which is something that has never happened, because if she wins, I mean the process is still on, so we're gonna have the president on trial for something that happened before.
That was
she
my
can't
question.
Cancel the trial, like tell the attorney general. Not to, or whatever.
Yeah, it's supposed to get in suspension for until she comes out of this. But the thing is that she's been trying to attack the DAs that are prosecuting her for years. So if she gets into power, I mean, that's done. She's never they're gonna clean her out, you know. So
So you think that if she gets elected, then she's going to lose. They're going to come after her and she's going to go back to prison.
No, not at all.
I
think
that'll go away.
If she gets elected, that'll go away.
It's done, meaning it'll go away. I got it.
She has to win in one way, perhaps.
That's pressure.
It doesn't look like she's going to, though. I mean, in the at the end of the first round, people said like, okay, nobody knows Castillo, but so she's going to win because all the other right-wing parties are going to go with her.
Yeah, it's the Jeb Bush theory.
Yeah,
people hate her so much.
People hate this woman so much. I mean, that they are willing to vote for anyone. I mean, some people say like it's either her or the abyss, and people say, okay, I'd rather jump into the abyss.
Oh, the abyss.
Yeah,
I thought it was a river. I was thinking,
I no, read no. that 63% in a recent poll, 63% of Peruvians say they would absolutely under no circumstances vote for her.
Yeah. Even under the threat of communism, even under the threat of communism.
Wow.
And I really understand it though, because the thing is that she can't guarantee anything, because she would say like, okay, I'll be the guardian of democracy. It's like, come on. For real?
Yeah, exactly. She's from a dictatorship. And also, she was, I read that from 1994, her father was 1990 to 2000. 94 to 2000, it said she was first lady of Peru, which is, in America, you can only be first lady if you're married to the president.
Well, Ivanka kind of was, in a way.
But not officially. Yeah. She was officially first lady. Yeah. Was it that her parents got divorced, or what happened?
No, it's just like the typical situation where your father is a dictator and he electrocutes your mother.
Well, he had a mother killed?
That's what happened. That's what happened, basically.
Electrocute, like killed, or just like, you know, give her a good... Like
kinky. Just get a little kinky.
Mind her P's and Q's. Tell her to...
Just a little bit. Just like, they tortured her. She still denies that, but it is well known. Basically, what happened is that after a few years of their being in power, the wife of Fujimori started noticing things and started being outspoken, because some relatives of Fujimori stole a whole bunch of donations from Japan. And that was like the first scandal in those days. And she knew. And she knew that this was all like organized crime operation. So she started being vocal about it. So they shut her up. And at some point, they gave her electroshock therapy. And because of that,
I mean, if you're going to be a mob wife, you got to keep your mouth shut. Like,
you got to learn.
Carmela Soprano didn't get electroshock therapy.
Exactly. That's kind of what happened. And so he
to the priest.
Yeah, exactly. You got to find a gay priest guy you can take the best.
Exactly.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Fujimori sent her away, and Keiko, she was 19, I think. She stepped up as the first lady, and she says until this day that her mom supported her, and it's like, yeah, okay. I don't think she had a choice.
Yeah, and, she's shaking, literally shaking, walking down the street.
Yeah, her mother actually even ran for Congress with another party in the following years. Hmm.
And Keiko, at the time, she was 19 years old. She was like a sophomore at Stony Brook University.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You meet this girl at a party, and you're like, is that girl easy? You think at 19, if her dad's electrocuting her mom back in the homeland, or no?
I would say that's, you come from a broken home.
Broken home theory, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then she ended up marrying a guy. She moved to New York City and married a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we paid for that. We paid for that wedding, and we paid for the... for those tuition bills as well.
And can I ask this? What's the connection between Japan and Peru? Like, why is there a Japanese community in Peru? That seems odd to us. Or I just never knew anything about that.
There's a big Japanese community here. There's the bigger one even in Brazil. Those are the two biggest Japanese communities in South America. Basically, Lima is a port city. So we have a lot of migration. We have Chinese Peruvian, Japanese Peruvians. I mean, we have a lot of people from different places. And Japanese is just one of the big colonies that stayed here for years. And it's just like one of those guys becoming president was just a coincidence, you know? But
it just seems so far away that it doesn't seem like Japan to Peru is a direct route.
We get on a boat.
I read that there was like two waves. The first wave was in the 1890s. A lot of Japanese came to Peru, and then 1941, they said, which is...
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Right, when they kind of escaped to Peru, maybe, right?
I don't know. I don't know exactly if that was the case, but
it was Wikipedia, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
No, they said there's two waves. You get in a boat, and if it goes one way...
But we have a whole bunch of waves of migration. I mean, right now in Peru, from the last... 4 years, we have a lot of like over 1 million people from Venezuela. We never used to have people from Venezuela here.
Well, that's the future. Your country could be sending people to other places if you got someone who admires Venezuela.
Well, I mean, we have like 3 million Peruvians living abroad as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we sent our share of Peruvians through the world.
And what's the I read about this food. Is it Nikkei cuisine or something? Or it's a Japanese Peruvian mix.
Oh, yeah, it's very good.
Sounds amazing.
It's very good. It's basically, since we both have like, we both cook with raw fish, and we have a big cuisine here in Peru that it's built on seafood. Basically, that's joining those two together. And yeah, it is very good. It's a whole, Nikkei is the next generation of Peruvians and Japanese. So it's people who are born in Peru and have like Japanese grandparents or parents.
Yes.
They call themselves Nikkei. So okay. That's Nikkei food. Yep.
And do they good. All, they support her or? Is there
no,
like
no,
no, they don't.
I mean, not specifically. The thing is, Keiko has a lot of support in the right wing and conservatives and people who are really out of touch with the reality of the country. Because right now, what you see in the streets is are the people are buying banners in the street, like electric banners that just they say, "This is Peru against communism. Don't if you work hard, you'll get ahead." Stuff like that, you know, like liberal mantras that don't actually mean nothing. And they say like, this is Peru against communism, but it, I mean, it's like 40% of the people are voting for these guys. So
yeah.
So you're telling them they're not Peruvian, you know? And it's usually like, they're sending out the wrong message. And I think that's, they're preaching to the choir basically.
And so when is the election?
June 6th.
Okay.
A little bit over a month.
Well, I looked up the brother because you said, I thought Stony Brook was so random and the brother actually went to Kansas State. To me, that's even more random, but how do they pick these American colleges? I don't know.
Yeah, you think I they mean, would get the it? Normally you go to like Harvard or something.
Yeah, or like UCLA or something. I don't know.
The child's a dictator. You go to Harvard.
The brother of Keiko, Kenji, is really stupid.
Oh, so yeah. Kansas State. Like,
it's Kansas State.
Couldn't even get into Kansas.
Well, of the Kansas University either. I mean, he's really dumb. So yeah, I don't think he's... Some people even think that at some point they would even tease him as if he had some kind of... mental issue.
So he's the Eric Trump in this scenario, and she's the okay.
No, I think he's the Baron Trump. If he has a mental issue. So yeah, okay, so on one side you got her.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. what I find very interesting is on both sides they're gonna pardon someone if they win.
Yes.
For
got
her,
it.
It's her father. And then for Castillo, mm-hmm. I read it's he has some friend or someone in his party who is in prison for 19 years because he took over a police station and murdered 4 police officers. Yeah,
he happens to be the brother of our former president, Ollanta Humala, which was who was president from 2011 until 2016.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Beat Keiko.
His brother took over a police station?
And murdered cops. And yeah. Why is Castillo going to pardon him?
I don't think he is, though. The thing is that when this guy that became president in 2011 won, they were saying all the things that they are saying about Castillo now, that he was with Venezuela, he was with Chavez, he was a left-wing communist, and all of that. And he ended up being just like any other right-wing president, okay? But his brother came up from the same... They were educated together, and they were these revolutionaries. So one of them became president. The other one just formed a small army. And New Year's Eve, at some point, he took over like a police station in a small town, very far away with like 10 people. And he killed like 3 police officers. And they had like, yeah.
Just a New Year's Eve party? They
just
got
a New Year's
control.
Eve party. Get drunk. Like and
he got sent to jail. And he's been in jail for a while. But he has a strong political voice, basically, because... He represents all of that, like they call it. It's very weird because there's an ethnic component to all of this, and they call it like they want to give Peru back to the true Peruvians, which are dark skinned Peruvians, and so yeah, it's
indigenous.
Kind of,
is that the idea?
Yeah, something like that. But it's kind of Nazi thinking because it's not only like there's a whole bunch of diversity in Peru when it comes to indigenous people as well. So there's not like one people.
Yes. Here. I read that Castillo calls himself, oh man, it's some term. It's that I can't find it here, but it's the term you're talking about where it's a national, an ethno-nationalist.
Something like that.
They say
and
in
it's
English.
Funny because for the right wing, Castillo looks like this guy from the Andes, okay? But Castillo is from the town, from a town in the Andes called Cajamarca, and he would dress up like with the hat of the guys who ride horses,
like the rancher hat. He's got the
like a rancher hat, and he likes bullfighting, and he likes and he's religious, but not like with evangelical. So he's basically like the product of colonialism, but just not white colonialism.
Right. That's the tricky part. I mean, who were the colonialists?
So much of this whole thing, I mean, Kaplan and I were talking before we went into air. So much of it is hard to wrap your head around as someone from the United States, because no one fits into the box that we're used to. We're used to the box being like Bernie Sanders. He's a socialist, right? But he also, that also means that he thinks that you should be able to have an abortion if you want to, and gay rights and all that stuff. But this guy's a socialist, but is against gay rights, is against abortion. He's an old school communist. I mean, as we said last week, he's a Che Guevara type communist. He hates gay people.
This guy doesn't do his pronouns in his Twitter bio. I don't think.
Yeah, there's university. I think we read a thing from Smith College in America, which is a very liberal university, and they're very upset at him for his gender normative way of thinking. And it's like, well, first of all, he's a farmer in like rural Peru. I don't think he's going to be, you can't expect him to be like highly educated on pronouns and care.
No, and actually we don't do that here, because it's funny, the pronoun thing, because in Peru, that battle is being fought on another ground. Basically, we don't assign gender to articles in Spanish.
Yes,
we assign them to so it's funny what they do here is they change the letter O, which is usually masculine, A is feminine.
Yeah.
So they change it for E. So instead of todos, which is all of us but in masculine, or todas, which is all of us in feminine, they say todes, which is
really
undefined.
What about X? They don't do X?
Yeah, in America, they do an X.
Latin X.
In the United States.
That Latin X is one of the funniest things I've ever...
Latinx.
The thing is that you guys got to understand that when in the U.S., when some people, when they talk about Latino culture,
Excuse me. Latin X culture.
Yes, don't get us in trouble.
when they say that, it's, they're talking about the Latin X or Latinos that live in the U.S.
Of course,
it has nothing to do with us.
Of course, we know that, but that doesn't make them feel good.
Smith College does not know that.
What makes Smith College feel good is to tell you how you're supposed to talk in your language.
I know.
And she's in a real pickle, the Smith College person, because it's like she's going to support the female running, right? Glass ceiling and all that. But the female is a right wing dictator sympathizer. And then you got this guy.
He's a
socialist, which we like, and but he's talking in gender normative terms. So I don't know what she's going to do.
And the thing with Castillo is that right now he's pretty undefined. That's how I feel about him, for example, because until a few weeks ago, it was like, okay, this guy's a communist and I hate Fujimori, but I don't want to live in the communist regime.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? Right. So at this point, the thing is that Castillo has given a few interviews because he's running away from the main press. He gives interviews to like media from outside Lima because he's 20% in the polls. Keiko is 20. Actually, Keiko's not second in the polls. How do you call it? Like the white vote or not voting?
Like writing in?
You cannot vote. You mean like you can choose
just
to not
go
vote.
And write whatever you want.
Because you have to vote, we discussed last time. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's second in the polls. Right now, you got Castillo with 40, no one with 26, and Keiko with 21.
Wow.
Why don't they go with no one? You can't impeach no one.
Yes.
Like no one president.
That's the best chance.
It's like the Oscars, Kaplan.
Yeah. The inanimate rod is...
There's no host.
There's no host, exactly.
You should get Kevin Hart to run. Kevin Hart should be no one.
Kevin Hart could run. Yeah.
So how did we get here? Is the economy... I mean, how did we get here in the sense that the only two options are so far out to either side? Yeah. Is it because the economy's bad and this is a reaction against...
Actually, the economy has been like better than ever for the last 30 years, okay? Oh. Better than ever. The thing is that we have so much corruption here, and the political the environment has degraded so much that you have many people have made a lot of money, but some people have made none. So basically the thing is that when these people say like, we're going to be like Venezuela, there's a lot of people in Peru that already live like in Venezuela. Mm. So for them, it's like, you're going to lose everything that we've gained. It's like, I've gained nothing, man.
You don't have anything. So,
lose. And the thing is that for years, every time like a center party came out, they would call him left wing. It's like if you had like a socialist, a guy that said like maybe we should just like try to give people a little bit more. This is like, oh, so you were a communist.
Oh, they do that. So, yeah.
Basically, Peru, everything which is left from the far right is seen as the far left. And it is not. So it's like the boy who cried wolf, basically.
Yes.
Eventually, if you don't give in. Because at the last time we spoke, I told you there was the candidate on the first round, which was like Trump. And it's like the answer of our right wing is like people demand a little that you move a little bit to the center. So they pushed a guy who is like Trump. It's like
that was that Rafael Lopez. Yeah, is that who that was?
Gas into the fire, you know?
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that make, I don't know, $300 a month. They can't barely leave now with the pandemic. I mean, they've lost everything. We have like Lima has almost 10 million people out of 30 out of work after the pandemic. So, yeah, it's pretty dramatic. So the thing is that this guy says on one side, you got Keiko with this TV spot saying like, we don't want communism. We don't want to lose it all. You're going to risk everything. It's Peru against communism. And then this other guy just throws like an ad with some poor people working and a poem, a very beautiful poem in the end, and says like, these are the nobodies. And they're not even worth the value of the bullet that kills them when they defend what's their own, you know, things like that. You got one guy selling hope and the other one.
To certain people.
So basically, people go with hope.
But do you think, like, because he's talked about like nationalizing like the natural gas and research and copper, and is that something he could actually accomplish though, or you know, without having?
I mean, not really, because he would have. There's not many ways he can do that. He would have to have the support from Congress, which he doesn't. Or another way would be that he would have the support from the military, which he doesn't have either. So
he has 30 seats in Congress out of 130, and he has no military support.
And he doesn't even have the support of the people that could also help, you know? Yeah. Like when we overthrew Merino, which was that president that lasted a week, he came up and he had the military, he had some of the media, but he didn't have the people. So just people came out and he lasted a week.
You need the military.
So this guy's going to last like 20 minutes.
Probably. And also, he's already saying that he's not going to do all those things. So it's like, no. Whoever made a company, built a company from scratch, I'm not going to take that from you. I'm not going to touch anything. If the people don't want to change the Constitution, I won't change the Constitution. Oh. So he's
walked right back now some of the things that have been used to attack him, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would attribute them to Cerrón, which is like the ideal. Cerrón is like the Steve Bannon of the whole thing.
Right. The backup. You know? Like the
Bannon for Trump, Cerrón is for Castillo.
But is Cerrón going to make him do these things, though? Is he really in charge, or this guy is independent enough that he can?
Can he fire Cerrón?
Yeah.
I mean, if Cerrón doesn't even have a place there. I mean, he's not running for anything. He's just the guy who created the party that's giving him the Congress. So in practice, I mean, in reality, he doesn't have any power.
So if you had to bet, where would you make it like a 50-50 bet? We say over under in America, but like 6 months? Do you think he'll last more than 6 months as president?
I really don't know, because I mean, the only thing I've learned in this country is that we are absolutely unpredictable. But but the thing is that I think that would be one of the best case scenarios.
6 months would be good.
6 months would be good. Some peace and quiet with that.
Or maybe he just like he just calls some other people and moderates himself a little bit, and we have another government that feels like they disappoint the masses that have elected them, which puts us in another dangerous situation 5 years from now.
Do you think
that's what's been happening for the last 20 years, basically.
Do you think there's a connection between the extremism happening in Peru right now with either super left or super right, and then the same extremism that happening? Like, so many of these interviews we do, we talk to people that have similar things in their countries.
Yeah, I do.
The world's having a moment where it's extremism.
I believe that in Peru, we've had extremists a lot of times before in history, but I think that happens now everywhere, because I think the way we see politics now through social media has exacerbated polarization very much, and has given people that don't understand politics the possibility of standing in one team or the other. So you got a lot of people that really defend some principles that they don't really understand. So I think social media has boosted sectarism or tribalism in a way that, well, politics is the most notorious phase of it, but you have it in mostly anything else. Whatever you discuss in social media gets immediately polarized. So I believe that extreme discourses really get the attention of people, because if you want to go towards the middle, you got to think a little bit further.
Mm. Yeah. And right? The middle is not too exciting for social media.
No, because you're in constant like me right now, I'm trying to be in the middle. Someday I hate Fujimori more. Sometimes I fear Pedro Castillo. I don't know what to do yet. So yeah.
You're all middle. Look at that.
Well, it's true. The middle doesn't get clicks, right?
No.
The YouTube algorithm does not promote like rational thought. It promotes crazy because that's what is more exciting to watch. And then that's what people see. Ay, ay, ay.
And it goes, it communicates faster.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you can get polarized with a 15-second clip, but if you really want to understand something, sometimes you got to watch like a 2.5-hour podcast or something like that to really get, the grasp of things.
You got to listen to the El Podcast de Jaime Ferraro if you want to really learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you told us this was coming. You said last time that there was a couple left-wing candidates that were like far left, that were people were most likely to be elected. So you got your finger on the pulse.
Here's my last question. Last question out of me is, last time we had talked, they had said that by April 1st, all these laws were the laws that we've talked about in the past, that if you are convicted of a crime, if you're guilty of a crime, but you're currently in public office, then you can't go to prison. So a lot of criminals will run for public office so to try to escape jail time. But you told us last time that on April 1st, that law would change.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so did that change, and has it had any effect so far?
Well, they did change it. The thing is that they've made it a little bit harder. You can still be protected by Congress, but Congress has a little bit more of power to kick you out and send you to be convicted. Now, if you get convicted, then Congress has to give you away. But you have to be convicted in like the last instance. I mean, you can go like first instance, you can appeal, you go to the second, and to the third.
Takes a long time.
Yeah, it takes a long time. So
there's no immediate people just going to prison in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
No.
Yeah.
And we're changing for another Congress in July 28th, because when we change the president, we also change Congress. And that's already set, because that gets sorted out in the first round.
How many of them are going to go to jail now who are elected?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them.
I mean, it was 61 last time, last Congress. Did you beat that?
I don't know exactly how many now. But I mean, all the parties, even
they should just send them to like a one jail. Do they all go to the same jail? They hang out.
It's like a reality show.
It's a real exactly. It's like an island. Alcatraz for convicted politicians. And they have tombs. It's like in the Crips and the Bloods. You have the two parties or different parties. You break off at the gym at the Peru.
They go stab each other at lunch.
Exactly. It's the new Oz. Yeah,
we should have them fight each other. It's like, okay, there's too many of you. We can only deal with six or five. So
great.
Rest of you got to kill each other and just sort it out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's great, that's it, everybody. That's the podcast. Hi, mate. Thank you so much. Sounds like you're undecided. It sounds like a lot of people, unless I don't want to put words in your mouth, but with the two choices here.
I mean, I haven't made a choice yet. It's pretty, I mean, I don't see myself voting for Fujimori ever.
No. Nobody sounds good.
So either it's Castillo or you do the nobody vote. Do you do that? Is that probably an option?
That's probably what I'm going to do. But I don't really know. I mean, I want to wait because we got 2 months and a lot of things can happen. So
Access Hollywood tapes coming out.
Yeah. The thing is that this is not an easy situation. And I believe that people are making choices very fast. And I don't see how.
Do you think anything that can happen? Like, are there different areas of the country that could flip or that could change this? Or it's pretty set? We're marching towards.
I think it's pretty set. Yeah. I think it's pretty set because Castillo is beating Keiko in mostly every demographic. Mm.
Well, I guess ideally, I mean, if he has to win, but he walks back a lot of these like super far communist ideas of taking 70% of everyone's money and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then
if he keeps away from the money, people are just going to forget about it. That's what people care in the end.
Let it go. School teacher. And he's ahead of the union. Teacher. Captain likes that. The teacher.
I do not like that at all. Speaking of, can I tell you one last thing? Is my kid randomly this week wrote a paper on Peru for school. They learned about it. And he had to decide where he'd want to live. And he said the highlands are great in Peru. He said the coastal, the highlands, and the rainforest. Those are their choices. And you know why he picked the highlands? I want you to tell you if this is true or not. He said that it's super cold in the morning and super hot at night. So you're going to snow. And go to the beach the same day. Is that true or is that fake news they taught him?
Yeah, it's fake news. I mean, you can go to the beach. I mean, I live like 10 blocks away from the beach. Fake.
By the way, Kaplan once a week brings up something his kid learned at school and it's always wrong.
There's maybe one place in Peru where you can go to the mountain and you can go to the beach. But yeah, I don't know if it's not that easy.
Maybe he didn't say the beach. Maybe he meant beach weather. It can get really cold in the morning and then it get really hot in the day. And he thought that was cool. That's what it was. So news.
That's true. That's
the highlands. It is. They teach Peru here in America. So you should be happy.
Highlander was a
Peru,
good show.
Peru has 14 different climates.
Whoa. So yeah, they learned. Yeah. And the rainforest is more than 50% of the country, Turner. I know you didn't know they had
something
rainforest
like that
at one point.
But
that's what I learned. And
right now, I'm in Lima. I live like 10 blocks away from the ocean. And it's this is supposed to be autumn, the beginning of our winter. And right now we are at like, 70 degrees.
Wow.
Beautiful. We should be doing there.
What was that, 20 Celsius?
Yep. 20 Celsius. And
not bragging, just saying.
And it goes like in the winter, it goes down to 13 Celsius, which is,
that's 55. Bam. 55, yeah. Something like
that.
We
have to decide when we're coming for our live pod since we're going to go to number one again. When we get three number ones, we got to commit.
Live pod Lima. But we're not giving 70% of it to this guy, Castillo.
No, we worked hard for our company.
Yeah, we're not giving 70% of the ticket revenue to
our
Castillo.
Patreon money. We're not giving them that. Or NFT, none of it.
None of the NFT. That's it, Cap. That's the podcast. Jaime, thank you so much for doing it. Everybody check out El Podcast de Jaime Ferraro. It's in Spanish. It's a great show. And Cap, that's it. What should we do?
Well, you just got smart. Let's get lost.
Get lost.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.